271. What most profoundly divides two men is a different sense and degree of cleanliness. What help is all honesty and mutual utility? What help is all the goodwill for each other? In the end, the fact remains, they can't stand each other's smell. The highest instinct for cleanliness puts the person marked by it in the strangest and most dangerous isolation, as a saint. For that's precisely what saintliness is, the highest spiritualization of the instinct in question. Any awareness of an indescribable abundance of pleasure in the bath, any lust and thirst which constantly drives the soul out of the night into the morning and out of cloudiness, the affliction into what is bright, gleaming, profound, fine. Just as such a tendency singles out, it is a noble tendency, so it also separates. The pity of the saint is pity with the dirt of those who are human, all too human. And there are degrees and heights where the saint feels pity itself as contamination, as dirt. 272. Signs of nobility. Never thinking of reducing our duties to duties for everyone. Not wanting to give up one's own responsibility, not wanting to share it. To include one's privileges and acting on them among one's duties. 273. A human being who strives for something great looks at everyone he meets along his way either as a means or as a delay and an obstacle, or as a temporary place to rest. His characteristic high-quality goodness towards his fellow men is first possible when he has reached his height and governs. His impatience and his awareness that until that point he is always sentenced to comedy, for even war is a comedy and conceals, just as every means hides the end, corrupt all contacts for him. This kind of man knows loneliness and what is most poisonous in it. 274. The problem for those who wait. For a higher man in whom the solution to a problem lies asleep, strokes of luck and all sorts of unpredictable things are necessary for him to swing into action at just the right time, for an eruption, as we could say. Ordinarily it does not happen, and in all the corners of the earth there sit people waiting, who hardly know to what extent they are waiting, but even less that they are waiting in vain. From time to time the call to wake up, the chance which provides the permission for action, comes too late, at a time when the best youth and power for action have already been used up in sitting still. And many a man, in the very moment he sprang up, has found to his horror that his limbs have gone to sleep and his spirit is already too heavy. It is too late, he says to himself, having lost faith in himself, and is now for ever useless. In the realm of the genius, could Raphael without hands, taking that phrase in the widest sense, perhaps not be the exception, but the rule. Genius is perhaps not really so rare, but the 500 hands needed to tyrannize the kairos, the right time, to seize chance by the forelock. 275. Anyone who does not want to see the height of a man looks all the more keenly at what is low and in his foreground, and in the process gives himself away. 276. With all kinds of injury and loss, the lower and cruder soul is better off than the more noble one. The dangers for the latter must be greater. The probability that it will go wrong and die is even immense, given the multifaceted nature of its living conditions. With a lizard, a finger which has been lost grows back. Not so with a man. 277. Bad enough. The old story again. When we have finished building our house, we suddenly notice that we have learned something in the process, something we simply had to know before we started to build. The eternally tiresome too late. The melancholy of everything finished. 278. Wanderer, who are you? I see you going on your way without scorn, without love, with unfathomable eyes, damp and sad like a lead sinker which has come back unsatisfied from every depth into the light. What was it looking for down there? With a breast which does not sigh, with a lip which hides its disgust, with a hand which now grasps only slowly. Who are you? What have you been doing? Have a rest here. This place is hospitable to everyone. Relax. And whoever you happen to be, what would you like now? What do you need to recuperate? Just name it. What I have, I'll offer you.
For relaxation, for recuperation, oh, you inquisitive man, what are you talking about? But give me, I beg.
What? What? Say it.
One more mask. A second mask.
279. Men of profound sorrow betray themselves when they are happy. They have a way of grabbing happiness as if they would like to overwhelm and strangle it from jealousy. Alas, they know too well that it's running away from them. 280.
Bad, bad. What? Is he not going back?
Yes, but you understand him badly if you complain about it. He's going back, as every man does, who wants to make a huge jump. 281.
Will people believe me? But I demand that people believe me. I've always thought only badly of myself and about myself, only in very rare cases, only when under compulsion, always without delight for the subject, ready to wander off from myself, always without faith in the conclusion, thanks to the uncontrollable mistrust of the possibility of self-knowledge, which has taken me so far that I find even the idea of immediate knowledge, which the theoreticians allow themselves, a contradictio in adjecto, contradiction in terms. This entire fact is almost the surest thing I know about myself. Within me there must be some kind of aversion to believing anything definite about myself. Is a riddle perhaps hidden in that? Probably, but fortunately nothing for my own teeth. Perhaps it reveals the species to which I belong, but not to me, and that's enough to satisfy me.